This is rewrite number 35, being recorded on July 6th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:39 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good day, tell us what you say.
Hello,
hi, Ion.
Hi.
Hey. Well, if y'all had Rye crammed down your nut hole long enough, you ready to get to some good stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, good. We're glad it's gone. That's the best part of Rye, it's gone. Good. So, where you want to start?
Book of Numbers.
Okay.
Ion, explain the purpose of the counting, the census that went on in the Book of Numbers.
Oh, so you could establish the fall. The Book of Numbers was to keep track of the fallen. No other purpose.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Do the fallen need to be taken track of, keeping track of?
Well, they'd get lost.
Aren't they lost already?
Well, but that's the point. That's what they were recording.
Who was doing the recording?
The tribal leaders of each tribe.
Would they be considered priests, or that was only the Levi tribe?
It wasn't that way. It was just the head of the tribes.
And you didn't mean physically fallen. They were somehow other.
We did.
Physically fell.
Right, because before that, no one had fallen. So, that's where God starts having to provide the quail. And then they get all drunk on their own liquor, and then God sends the plagues. And then you start, when Miriam and Aaron start rebelling, and then you got Moses coming back to intercede, and then Miriam is restored. And then you get to starting to find out about the details of the promised land. That's a Deuteronomy reference. Then you can keep going, but it's just the keeping track of the little ones.
Now, I would consider that a Rai action. That's a priestly controlling factor. It's concerned, Jed, you know,
concerned. It's not, well, that's not a completely inappropriate. But it misses the point. The point is that they realized that they had fallen. They realized that they had come into a place now, finally, where they had to be kept up with, because if they couldn't be kept up with, then they could be forgotten and lost.
They started getting into ideas of healing people.
Well, they had rods and staffs, but they hadn't perfected the Louisville Slugger yet. Good 24-ounce Louisville Slugger, that'll do the trick.
Is there a reason
now, it's
for
interesting,
the counting
they don't
of
get
those?
The, now, wait a second. Hold on, you're all right. But it's interesting, they roll along, and then you get to chapter 26, and they start going into the second census. They don't have the first census all good and marked up good. They don't get the votes counted from the first one till hell, they start the second census. And so it goes.
Yeah, the guys doing the counting had to keep their job going. So they increased the desire for another one. Or they made sure they're...
Well, that. And then you had the destruction of the Midianites, too, which was pretty huge.
The Millionites or Minion?
Midi.
Midianites. Okay.
Oh, Midianites. Good God. Midianites, Bob.
Oh, Midians. And they were what? Who were they? Jewish?
Nope, they were not. They were from Midian.
And you mentioned that in your little summary a minute ago, that was, they counted the destruction of them? They beat them up?
Do.
Why were they destroyed?
Had to be. That they avenged. It was an avenging of the children of Israel.
But they didn't have, this is after the flood, so there's no angels, hybrid angels involved in the Midianite population.
It's a little bit, it's a reach, so no.
There could have been?
Yeah, there were. Not could have been, there were.
And so that, and the Jews knew that, so they said, we got to get rid of those guys. They still got seraphim and the other im in there.
They had to get rid of it so they could divide the land east of Jordan.
So it didn't matter that they had the fallen, the seraphim in there. It just happened they were in there. It's not the reason they were attacked.
Right.
Hi, On.
Hey.
Hi. Your statement that they couldn't be recorded and kept up with, they were forgotten and lost. Does that refer only to the actual recording and transcribing, or is there a deeper meaning here, as in anything to do with eternal mortals?
Oh, okay. They talk about this in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is going on of it. It's interesting they talk about the census now, but that's not new. They started doing, ever since the world's been fallen, they've been counting.
Mm-hmm.
And they've almost, then by then, when they get to that place, maybe they'll have it perfected, is the place. But it's referenced and referenced and referenced over and over again.
Hmm.
Now, Chad, you had some more blah on numbers. Did we answer it?
Well, no, I was going to drill down into what they were counting. So they're counting the
people,
number of...
the little men.
Yeah, but it says specifically they're counting the men who were 20 years old and over who could bear arms in the first census.
That's right. And that was just keeping track because within their household, their numbers could increase.
Right, but that's not counting anybody but the men under 20 who can bear arms. It's not counting, like, women or...
Well, that's right. But then the little ones, see, hadn't fallen. So there was no reason to count them. And the women didn't count anyway in those days.
Ooh.
Because they weren't fallen?
No, because they were women.
They were the vehicle by which you got more that weren't fallen.
But they weren't counted among the fallen numbers, so...
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because they were producing gods.
Right.
Chad, they were the first medium, the first extension. Women.
Medium. Some of them were big, large ones.
Mm. Never seen it as a vehicle.
How do you call it? Hey, Margarita, that's what you call a chicky whoppa.
Oh, yes.
It's just the way it was recorded, Chad. There was aspect within the household, within the lineages, because there were lots of women were mentioned, but they saw it as a pecking order or a setup, like that the wives were the neck that turned, the men were the head of the household, and the wives were the neck that turned the head. So when you have a head count, they don't count the necks.
I see.
And so if you could embrace it that way, because, see, this is a very politically charged reference point of setting up an entire dynamic that was to count, to keep track of. Before that, it's interesting because no one had to be kept track of because no one was not.
Ian, were there cultures at that time, maybe in Polynesia, that didn't have the patriarchy ruling? That recognize women as human beings?
Well, there were some hangovers. There were some hangovers in some of the Syria and the Syrian eras. Now, all those names change, you see, because even in some of Babylon, some of their gods were female. And some of those hangarounds were counted or regarded within the household, but only in the highest level. And not a problem. It's just the way it was.
Okay, were any of these issues, since it comes out of writing, happening in Polynesia?
They didn't let whites drink out of the blacks' water fountain either.
There was racism within, or tribalism, tribal hatred among the tribes. That's how,
Not hatred, competition.
Yeah, Worcester once told me that. He spoke to an anthropologist who interviewed a lot of tribes, whatever, and they said the one thing they couldn't get rid of was hate. So I'm thinking of the drive of competition might be the better word, but that's in all societies, I guess is what you're saying. It's going to come out.
We call that as the race to the bottom, yes.
Yeah, the race to the bottom always is among little men who form cultures.
Okay. Well, since you're on a roll, Bob, tell us exactly what Michael Blake Reed had to say regarding the factions at hand.
You mean tribalism? He said, Michael Blake Reed said that the feminist anthropologist idea that there were societies where women ruled, matriarchal, I think the Evergreen said that there was no such society.
What you going to do with the Amazonians?
I don't know, but that's all I can think of is that the Evergreens did not agree. Oh, they talked about, yes, there were matriarchies, but in those, the women were as murderous as the men would be. They plotted to kill other people. Yeah.
They were worse.
That's what the Evergreens talked about. You don't romanticize that a society is better if women are in charge.
Men get mad, women get even.
And they used to smoke babies and have all these political stratagems. Okay, that woman had that baby before I'll kill her baby, so my baby is the next one in line. Vicious. And so if you don't want to call it hatred, call it the competitive drive is in every aspect of human existence among little men, little people.
Okay, so now move it into the awareness, since you've been on a roll. We've been listening to you, so listen here, Bob.
Well, moving into awareness is just the good news that that's not possible anymore. And the womb will be closed. Yeah, we didn't get into this on the show. The womb will be closed because Rai returned to essence. So the problem between Rai and Isis, or the reason Isis helped Rai keep the world going, keep his creation going, that stopped in 67. So
the womb won't exactly be closed, but the cervix no longer will be aligned.
Right, so the continuation of Rai's creation due to the original separateness is no longer going to happen. So that's why no children will be born. That's what awareness to me added to the whole dynamic.
All right, anything else from your vast resources, Bob?
I don't know. If I think of something, I'll bring it in if it's evoked.
We can't wait. It's wonderful.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So Ion, in the first census, the total number was 603,000. Explain the relation between this 603,550 and the 144,000 in Revelations.
None at all.
Okay. So there's no
just
descendants.
Just like the popular vote in Broward County that affected the entire election didn't have anything to do with the sitting president.
So the 144,000 revelations are not among the counted?
Okay, Chad, you were asking about the 306 or some number?
Yeah.
And you may not know this. This is an early rewrite. See if I got this right. The 144,000 tribes was a numerical system the Jews created so that they had 12 tribes with 12,000 each. And they used that nomenclature, that numbering, to remind them of the goal to have 144,000 double helixes. It had nothing to do with the population, so to speak, population numbers.
Translation, it's nomenclature for all you English-speaking ones.
Mm-hmm. But I was asking, I know that definition of it, Bob. I was asking if numbers has any relation to, DNA or any of the... No? Okay.
Not at all.
Do the numbers in numbers...
It's the little man's perspective, you see. That's the point. They were just pointing at it the way they could point at it.
Okay,
someone dropped out, but we're open, right?
Yes, we are open.
Do the numbers in the Book of Numbers have any relation to architecture like they would in the other parts of the Old Testament related to the sizes, the cubit sizes and all that?
Well, they absolutely, they use the angles of numbers as just that.
The angles in numbers apply to the size of the ark, are you saying?
To architecture. Angles in architecture.
Architecture, not the ark.
Okay.
See, because everything had to be symbolized as a symbolism. Otherwise, it would be, as you'd say, it is a Yahweh abomination.
Okay, so they were used as symbols in their architecture, to just like the 144,000 were used as a symbol of where they wanted to get back to?
Well, that's not a symbol. That is.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're saying that the tribes, 12 times 12,000, was symbolic in the numbering, using that number.
Well, that's just breadcrumbs that they left on the pathway so you could find your way back to God.
Okay, so breadcrumbs are symbols or not symbols?
Breadcrumbs are real. And all the references that are left in the scriptures are real, but the point of their realness is to remind you your way, path back to when you were God.
Yeah, the real would be, you could see it, but it would be signs to getting back to where you got to the point where you didn't regard what you saw as real.
Well, you would quit using your eyes to see.
Yeah. And as long as you were seeing, the symbols would point to the non-seeing ascended state.
That's the way Lofty saw it.
If we don't use our eyes to see, what are they used for, Ion?
To lie.
Okay.
It's, you validate everything that's truth or not based on your sightedness. Well, that's a damn lie. Are you going to believe us or those lying eyes of yours? You see? So that's just that whole inference that's laid out right there. Sightedness was never used. Sightedness was never used to make a journey. Sightedness was never used to give direction. Sightedness was never used to prove anything. Sightedness is just what you use as a compilation of your creation.
Right, and that's where McCoon spent all his time using anthropological evidence of the pre-literate societies didn't use sightedness. So
Bob developed that and made and created, and we'd say inappropriately until now, and established the base for visual bias.
Right, and so what Marshall calls pre-literate and tactile societies, that would be, in your terms, closer to the ascended condition of Samaria.
Yes, that's right. Now, that trickled into some of the Coathanites now, so it's not like this is just a hot and cold or black or white conversation, Bob. So if you ask this again later, it has a tendency to shift a bit, and as you well know, it will. But that's sort of the point. But you're not out of bounds.
Yeah, the tactility you talk about, if you're a tactile people, you're closer to, you may not be ascended, you're close to whatever we call that place that is, that we are getting to when heaven is on earth. And,
or use that tactility to validate why you aren't there.
Right, and that's the best flaw. Sightedness is flaw squared. You're inside a rabbit hole and haven't even got to the problem.
And sometimes cubed, because if you recognize you're in a rabbit hole, that it's worse if you cube it, because when you cube it, then you're in a rabbit. You realize you're in a rabbit hole. You realize how you got in the rabbit hole, and you also realize you can't get out of it.
Right, so that might bring in Ginny's point.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, I'll say this, Ginny, before you start. So the phonetic alphabet, that effect squared the rabbit hole, and then the printing press cubed it. That's how I'd apply what Ian just said. So you can, Chad, you finished?
Yeah, I'm done that point, yeah.
Okay, Ginny Bell, many are called, few are chosen. So in the naming, the difference between a calling and a naming, a calling is what's laid on you by God, which is you. A naming is an aspect that a God applies to a creation.
Is naming the beginning of mortar? Can be. Probably say can be.
Well, just let us develop it a little bit. It's a good point, but you'll get us, you'll go, you'll end up in the LaRouche quadrant if you keep going that way. So just let that lay for a second. All right. You got Adam. You got Adam in the garden. You got Adam naming every beast in the world, all the non-physical beasts. And he named them, and that's what they are named as. That was what they, how they, he could call them. He named them so he could call them. Okay? And there was a flow of communication. Just as though, just in the example would be like, you get a puppy. You look at the puppy, you give the puppy a name. Now you got a bunch of dogs, and you can call one dog, you can call one dog's name and that dog will come. Sometimes they all come, especially if they think there's some meat in the bucket that they're gonna get to have. But if it's, you call one, one will come and the others may not. They know their name. So the name implies a separateness. So they could be recognized when God, you call them. Okay? And you go, but wait a second, all I got to do is sort of holler and all my dogs come. Well, they know, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Okay? Now you let Greg call them and hell, they'll run. They might come, but maybe not. But you call them and they're on there like a bad habit. They come. They know, okay, because they were named by you, and then you apply a calling to that application. Now, we're doing this as an idiot 101 savant's application, but we're trying to get the separation so now we can go into the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Of, then they say a knowledge, but then they go of good and evil. There's where the trouble comes in. There was no good, there was no evil until you come to that place. Then you know there is a good, and you know there is an evil, which, of course, for God would not be a plus in the ascension column. But far as a little man goes, it becomes key because then it becomes an applied knowing that you can embrace and or obsolesce and retrieve. Okay?
Okay, so now in the scriptures it says he called them and then he named them. I understand what you just said, but what I'm asking is, in the, when I looked up the words, it said that the naming was a fixed position. So when you name
right.
something, do you fix it in a position?
You do.
Yes.
You do.
Okay. And when you call something, are you using angel language to call, or are you using vibration of your voice, or what is the calling, the difference between the naming?
No. See, if you're talking about, you're still talking about beast, or are you talking about naming anything?
Oh, you're talking about beast, not physical. Okay, very good.
Well, no.
Okay,
we'll do both, baby. We'll do both. But that was the reference that we gave. So once we lay that foundation pretty good, now when you start talking about a peep-toed slingback do me like a dog pump, then of course you realize we've eliminated everything else except for a very, very, very sophisticated Manolo Blahnik.
Correct.
You
got
see?
It.
So that now that's more specific. That
okay.
limits, that gives us a pinpoint accuracy to a named creation. Okay?
Okay.
Like you could say, I have a rose window. Okay? Well, at Westminster Abbey, that means something very different. Do you see? So you'd get very, 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 very specific about it. Okay?
And then
I have keys to my car. And then you can go into the details of I have a keyless ignition, auto start, a fob that lets me push the start button. La, 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 la. That gives an even more. Well, like ordering brown or clear party liquor in a drink. You can say I want a salty dog. All right? Well, everybody knows that's ice and vodka and grapefruit juice with salt around the rim. Okay? Then you can, and that's named, and you call for that, and if they know what the calling has been named, they'll serve you that. Whereas James would say a screwdriver is orange juice, naranja, and vodka and ice. You see? So a mimosa, that same thing. As you start mixing those things, that's just the definers to help you as a little man segregate desires that you know.
And then when you, the ascended don't speak, so their desires are being communicated through another means.
Well, no. God speaks. God speaks. It's just not spoken from a pondering, wondering, how am I going to get there from here place.
So
God still
speaks, and it is.
God does speak,
okay.
but not because he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he knew how the fruit was born on the tree of life. You're trying to get out of the tree of knowledge, and you're trying to get up the tree of life.
Because when you name it as the tree of fruit of good and evil, you have then limited it, and that's where, quote, the fall gets accelerated.
Well, that's where you obsolesce. That's where you obsolesce the benefit of the tree of life.
Right. Okay.
That's pretty hot right there now.
Now, okay,
that's,
well, then you
hot.
Need to say more
that's
words.
Pretty hot.
You obsolesce the tree of life.
Yes, that's what the of all the garden, Adam could just eat till his belly was full of anything in the garden. And the only thing God told him says, now, you dumb fuck, if you know what you're doing, you better stay out of this fruit. Have anything else you want, but this yam won't serve you. Well, of course, that's my making y'all not think of pink elephants. You see, it's ridiculous.
But by participating in it, it is admittance that you don't have knowledge. Therefore,
well, you wouldn't have a desire if you did. Right?
Oh, you wouldn't have a desire because you'd only have knowing.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And that's what we say over and over and over and over and over and over. You come back into your power and you'll know. And then that takes care of who, what, when, where, how, and why when it's used in the form of a question. So you won't have those because you'll know. Well, if you know, then when... You'd know when. Where, you'd know where. Why, you'd know why. Who, you'd know who. See, and that's why, that's just the precursor or the practice stage of enjoying ascension. And if you know that, then you watch it. I mean, it's great fun. Bart's on that like a bad habit. He's changed his vocabulary. And it's making a huge difference because then those questions don't come up, they don't get answers, they don't rabbit hole you, so there's nothing to blog.
Believe me, I virtually have no questions left.
We know, and that's good. And so therefore there's nothing to tell somebody of what you know. You're not interested in telling them any longer.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean you write well. you know, if you could just learn to talk right, you'd be all right. You'd be better off. But you can type well. There's no question there. But then you decide after about a second that it becomes a fool's errand because it's kind of like, well, all I'm doing is describing to everybody the reason that they have engaged in the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if they don't know that, I'm ruining it for them.
Yeah, it's sort of run its course for me.
And that's delicious, but you had to, it's like a very good meal. It had to run its course. See, you can have instant digestion, but it serves you well to have a great big meal and then have elimination the next day. You see, it works out for you. That discord or break, it's good. It's called good digestion.
So, Ion, would the tree of life be like the RNA drops and the relight?
No. Let's say it this way. The tree of life provides the bread of life and living water. Now, if you get what bread of life and living water is, just as it's thoroughly laid out in Revelation, thank you, Chad, you actually got us back to what this is supposed to be about. Thank you. Come into a place where if you have a mingling of that aspect, that would be an example of your RNA drops. And now the other substances that you got realign, relight, remag, restructure, you have allow, you have renew, you have some of those things that are being made available just to give you that extra oomph as you continue your process of change. But see, all of y'all are doing marvelously well. If you notice, you almost can just not have conversation with regular ones much no more. You find yourself engaging in conversation with others because no one else seems to get it, and you're starting to like it.
Yeah.
So that aspect then heightens your body shifts and changes that are becoming that you don't know those completement formulations will assist your body in the knowing of those changes. And then, by God, Bob will know what the hell is going on with his damn meat sack body, and he won't be wondering. And it'll serve him. He'll know. Now, he'll forget. That's all right. That's Bob. We love us some Bob. He keeps it always mixed up and interesting. And the only one that's yet taken us all the way through the LaRouche quadrant and didn't make you want to blow your brains out. So it has its absolute service. It's very good. But the point is you don't get ever stuck, you see, because you got eternity. And you're just now waking up to this eternalness that you've engaged to such a place and such a degree, maybe for the very first time since you've allowed the winds to blow, since you've loosed creation, since you've set things into motion, since things are coming in, y'all set the timetable. Not us. Now, we play now. We in it now. Our name isn't Bennett, but we're all in it. You need to know that. But that's all right. That's all right. Because the more you come into your place of power, the more confident and the more free reign all of non-physical is concentrated. This is the first time this has been said all the way through. Now, Dr. Dean... Is she back from the aqua stuff, Bobby?
Back from the pool, and she's lying there. She fell asleep. So,
Dr. Dean.
No, she's asleep.
Well, this answers her question.
You want me to wake her up? No, I'll give her a headache.
No. That's not your job. That's fine. But when she does, let her know we answered her question now that she was asking. It's the first time it's been said. As more and more of you come into your place of power, the more and more and more non-physical, number one, will increase. More and more and more will non-physical become more evident. more and more and more you will use as a god, a creator, non-physical, to handle your affairs. We don't create. We're Bob said it best right out of the chute. We are the butler. You see?
Right.
We answer the questions. We speak when we're spoken to. Well, used to be that way anyway, huh? Huh, Jenny Bell? So, Barb, all this stuff that you're trying to figure out, darling, there's nothing wrong with trying to figure it out. Just don't get yourself stuck. If you're not real careful, it's easy to get stuck in the dogma of the dog. So, as long as if it's fun, that's fine. See? That's fine. That's fine. If you'd like to see what your hair looks like up, we'll put it up. But that doesn't mean that that it must stay up then because you're God and you put your hair up. You can play with it, darling. There's nothing wrong with it. Just don't put your hair up with pink and shears.
Okay, can we get back to the Tree of Life topic? You mentioned that these products, RNA drops and the Relight and the other ones are...
Realign, yes.
Right, they're sourced from the Tree of Life. Like, the Tree of Life is behind...
Well, RNA is the closest that. The others are completement formulas. They just assist the body as you more and more and more shift into your ascension.
Right. Can you tell me, besides the RNA and the other completement products, can you tell us something else that comes from the Tree of Life that we are familiar with?
You fucked the pony when you said that we're familiar with. So
okay, tell me something we're not familiar with that comes from the Tree
water.
Of Life.
Axiom water.
Axiom?
Yep. Living water. That's coming. That's almost ready. Y'all gonna be so happy. You'll know why Vesta was singing she wouldn't take nothing for her journey now. Don't worry. Just intend it. Living water.
Yeah, that's A-X. I don't know if there's two X's. E-I-O-N.
Just
not axiom. It sounded like you said A-X-E-I-O-N. Axiom, not I-U-M as in Michael. I-O-N, axion.
So it has the word ion on the end, you mean?
Yeah. So it's a Tree of Life, the ascended being, and now you said RNA drops. No, okay, I have another point. The RNA drops are not the completement. They are the catalyst. The one drop is the catalyst is what you're saying, right?
Right.
And then further uses of the drops and the realignment and other things to balance off the effect of the one drop.
Great. What if we said it like this? One orgasm is enough. If you have one orgasm, then you're going to want to have lots of orgasms. But one orgasm will do it. Okay?
You mean it'll create the desire for more. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Right. Once that's the case, then you get the whole point. Oh, well, I'm only going to have one orgasm. That's all.
So the realign and these other substances are cures for the herpes and syphilis you get after you start having a lot of orgasms.
Well, you won't have to have that. You won't have that. Won't be required.
I'm thinking of them as the changes. The changes that one goes through from the one drop. You say the realign is there to help balance off, complement those changes, and even the extra RNA drops.
Yeah, the only reason you had the clap and the crabs and the itch and all that mess is because they told you that intercourse was dirty. So your body had to respond to it. So if you didn't have straight missionary heterosexual sex, then you could drag something home. Well, that's nothing other than guilt creating the vicissitude for less than this.
Okay, so Ion talks about the air that one drop stirs up your body chemistry, and then the realign and more RNA drops help adjust the body to what the RNA did. What is that adjustment factor? What's being adjusted? Why does an adjustment have to happen?
Well, because you're fallen. It doesn't have to.
Oh, okay. Because you have fallen. So
you've fallen,
got some ideas in you.
Up.
You got some
you've
guilt
fallen.
And
You've
got somebody,
and you
no, no, that's syphilis. That applies.
And you've fallen, fine.
Yeah, we got that. Fall. Now, here's the implication of that, is that the stirring up of assumptions and concepts and guilts inside you, like sex death creates the syphilis in that, if you have aberrant sex or something, that's what you're saying is going to happen to your body when you take RNA. It's going to stir up assumptions because you're fallen and things in your body that got there in your fallen state, and that's what the Realign and Remag and that works with.
It helps balance that. That's correct. As you develop more and more and more double helix strands.
So in that metaphor, the Realign is penicillin.
No, in that metaphor, that is in that metaphor, that's like a nice glass of wine enjoyed with a good meal.
Yeah, I don't want to put the negative connotation of penicillin, but you're saying the Realign is not penicillin. It is does better than penicillin because it's enjoyable. It's not there to heal you.
It makes the heart light.
So yeah, if you're stoned and heart light, then you don't get bogged down in the concepts, assumptions, guilt that.
Well, you don't sit around and pine because you're ascending, but not ascended as Bob.
Right. Yeah.
Ion, when you said makes the heart light, did you mean literally turns the heart into light?
No. Well, yes, we do. But we were making the point of it makes the heart. It's an essence of a happy. It allows amino acid structure in your body done correctly allows your body to form these bonds. And then when Relight, the perfect hydration formula, is applied, it allows those neuron synaptic nerve endings, if they're disconnected. This is what Dave Worster was asking about with his neurotin the other day, was the point that brought him back into the cycle of this will help have an effect on those synaptic nerve pathways.
That's Realign, and you said the bonding was done by Realight.
Realight.
Yeah, was being done. And what can you say the RNA drops did?
All the RNA did is it was new information that your body RNA would use to give new information to your DNA.
So it cleans up the DNA, makes it perfect thing to be copied.
Well, it cleans up the copy. Yeah, that's right, Bob. All right.
Does it make a perfect DNA thing that's copied, or it just cleans up the one you got?
Cleans up what you got. We would say...
Oh, that's only one. So would RNA drops, you would say what? Something about perfect?
We would say you're already perfect. You just try to get your cells to capitulate.
So it cleans up that DNA copy. How would RNA drops affect if you had 10,000 double helixes?
Well, how would you feel about an orgasm after you've had 10,000 orgasms?
Okay, so the RNA gives you an orgasm, and then there's a clean copy.
Oh, nobody, don't go. God damn, Bobby, you know, itch is scratch, so scratch is itch, so itch is itch. Itch is the clap. Okay.
Yeah,
so
okay,
you
got
go.
That.
There
yeah,
you go. Yeah, every year. No, not so much.
Okay.
So,
well,
nice.
I just try to make it faster, but you're literal, so you get bogged up by efforts and move along rapidly.
Yeah. Fast will get you a really high horseshoe and hand grenade throwing score.
When you talk about clean copy, is the white stone the clean copy?
Yes, but don't do that right now. Wait till Dr. Dean joins us and she can enlighten you.
Okay.
Yeah, on the surface, the white stone is not a clean DNA. It's not a clean...
But it is the aspect that you will use to recognize your perfect cell.
Okay, can we have a better word than clean? Because that implies dirtiness. What is the word you would say to people interested in RNA drops? It does what to the DNA copy? It cleans it. It refreshes it. What would be a better word? We're stuck with clean?
Okay. We didn't say clean. Jerry.
Okay, what would you say? It does.
We would just say that it provides the body its original structure information, which allows for cellular replication at the perfect level.
And so you get the word perfect in there.
And what we call the perfect level is with 144,000 double helix strands.
It starts copying at the level you have in your structure when you have 144,000. It's operating that. We get one going like that.
It's the same thing that you're experiencing, Bob, when you're up to 122 drops a day. And believe it or not, he actually counts that crap. It's pretty ridiculous. But and washes his hands after every damn drop. That's the best.
And the bottle. And the fridge.
And
that
the bottle.
I had to open
the
fucking
refrigerator. And the refrigerator.
And then Carol, she came here by a shower. She has to take a shower.
Exactly. And then there's a flood because Bob's watering the water. Bob washes water. But instead of, in the Bible, they talk about people walking on the water. Bob's the only human creator so far that washes water.
That's called D-cell, putting a D-cell in the water. That's what we were doing. We were cleaning the water. We were washing
isn't
it.
Isn't that done?
Hey, there was two female voices 2 minutes ago, so whoever we...
Sasha's been trying to jump in.
Sasha wants to talk about Gilgamesh. No, sorry, Sasha. Go ahead.
Before Gilgamesh is actually the Tree of Life, the only time in the Book of Enoch when he's describing the sense of smell is around the Tree of Knowledge and the Tree of Life. I was just wondering if you could go into that a little bit.
Okay. Well, we're in it. What would you like to know?
Okay, well, he just describes the most incredible smell around the Garden of Eden and around the Tree of Life. And I was just wondering what the significance of that smell, if there is.
The heightened awareness. This awareness indicates that all your senses are supercharged, enhanced. Superman had X-ray vision. Okay? He was supercharged, but not from his home country. He was normal from his home country, but in this fallen state, he had what they call superhuman effects. It wasn't that he was able to fly. It was that he had less gravity here than there.
Uh-huh.
And so if you could embrace it that way, all of a sudden, to have... gravity of a gravitational pull. Well, this is the heightened sense. Gravity is so little, it's so slight on your planet right here, right now. It's almost the easiest thing to overcome. And yet, we talk about having levitational devices, things that move great big heavy mass things around, as being just way too much. You got to have a lever. You got to have a dolly. You got to have wheels. You got to have a forklift. You got to have a tandem truck to roll it. Can't be this heavy on an axle because you'll tear up the roads. It doesn't apply at all. So once you get over gravity, then this heightened sense of smell around the Tree of Life, okay, would then be as easy as having something move.
And Ion, how has the changing of hydrogen in our atmosphere affected gravity?
Okay. Well, actually, let's say it this way. If you don't mind, normally we'll go with just what you say, but we don't want to get you rabbit holed this early in. Ion, how has the creation of negative pH affected gravity? Oh, Greg, that's a great question. Okay, here's the answer to that question. If you have the ability to sustain a negative potential for hydrogen, hydrogen being one of the most common elements in what you call your environment, it changes... Sorry?
And the lightest element...
And the lightest element, if you can have a negative pH, it actually can easily have an effect on what you call falling 32 feet per second per second.
Terminal velocity, okay.
There you go. Okay. So once you change that, it's not hydrogen that's going to change everything. It's the negative potential for hydrogen that changes everything. Because once you change the boiling point of water, you've changed everything.
So if there was a chronology here, it's first hydrogen, then negative pH, then boiling water, then, you know, specific gravity, or is the chronology a wrong, even analogy to use?
Yeah, it sucks. All of them suck sooner or later. But let's put it this way. You get that white stone just right, and you start running some just old regular damn water over that, and you start getting yourself in a position where you start knowing what this outcome or the fall of this is, you won't have that question. The chronology won't matter anymore. Somebody's let the owls
okay.
in.
Nah, it's just Cody. So, back to the RNA. The RNA, see, in my case, I was about to go to a 1.75 magnifier for my glasses. But I'm now at a 1, and I can read the newspaper in the morning without glasses on with some decent light. Mm-hmm. Now,
well,
if the lab
yeah, like good light. That's right. That's correct. That's right.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to get at here is that RNA seems to go slipstream around the labyrinth of the mind because I was using glasses. My eyes weren't improving. I didn't have a big dog in the fight other than...
If you went to the eye doctor, they'd say, oh, your lenses relax after a while, after so many... You get 42 and a half years old, and then all of a sudden you have to have cheaters. You don't
exactly.
need glasses, but you need cheaters.
Okay.
So they set
There's
this up that your lenses lose their ability to come together, focus, adjust to whatever lighting that is.
Mm-hmm.
See, dilation of the eyes is a good thing. That's a good thing. Folks talk about it as a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing. You burn them corneas right out, you get in the right sunshine if your eyes didn't dilate down, you know, in those clothes. But what's being affected is the rods and the cones in your eyes are the same as they were. Okay?
Right.
They're the same. What's happening is, the best thing that's affecting your eyesight, because that's, if you remember way back there, we said that's one of the later things that'll shift, because that's a direct upside-down position that your mind has to record. The only reason you can't see is because your mind said you couldn't see clear or plain. The only reason the wavelengths are shortening, they're already bending, so for you it's easier to focus with a shorter light wave frequency. And that's been picked up by your RNA consumption, by the way. Bless your heart. RNA does a body good. And you know this, no question. But the point is that made it an easier transition into what you call perfect sightedness.
Right.
It's like when Jenny can look a quarter of a mile across the water and see the tiniest little thing. And the conversation goes like, what the fuck are you talking about, Virginia? Well, can't you see that little bud, that little morning glory flower right over there? I mean, it's just ridiculous sightedness. And that's only because the wavelengths are shorter. So the lens of your eyes absolutely are easier to focus. There's less strain. And that's the same way if you're tired, been busy, been working, tired, driving, blah, 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 and it's 11 o'clock at night and there's a piece of mail you want to read, there's no light anywhere, you might reach for your cheaters just to see that easily.
Okay.
No problem.
The labyrinth of my mind that, as you just, you know, well-versed, oh, after 45, oh, hours on the computer, oh, your eyes, you know, my labyrinth of my mind wasn't strong enough to, quote, negate the effects of the RNA in reproducing my eyeball cells, let's just say.
Fine. So here's the example of that. You take your Lucky Box screen and get you a camera, one of those little digital camera, and you take a picture of your computer screen. Sometimes you could see it on the movies if they don't take that part out. And that screen is like flashing, 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 flashing.
That's right.
Well, it's that flashing that makes your eyes tired anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha even got filters and crap to help with that, from that shifting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's almost like a strobe light process. And so that's what shows up that way.
Interesting listening to Dave Worster. Someone tried to, you know, get the question to him, why do you think you're continuing to perpetrate these nerve-ending problems, back problems, et cetera, et cetera. And even with, excuse the pun,
it all went back to his disability in the Army.
Okay.
Or the service.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Good. But now you want to get some fun? Get rid of that damn newspaper and get the phone book and start.
Okay.
There's a specific reason why they put the businesses in the yellow pages. And the reason they put them in the yellow pages is because you can see black on yellow easier than you can see black on white.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's the purpose.
That's right.
Black shows up more stark on yellow than white.
So even though the font is smaller, your eyes can read it easier because of the difference in the, because of the wavelength of yellow.
Well, exactly. The wavelength of yellow and how it separates, your eyes can more easily adjust to it. Same way Sheila plays with color. It's not black, it's black. Doesn't have any effect. Black, true black is black, is black is black. But you soften or sharpen black by its contrasting color.
That's right. What
and
you have around it.
And gives, gains, and proposes perspective. Well, perspective is what your lenses of your eye holes use to tell your mind whether it's lying or not.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, see how we needle-pulling thread that right back into the same rabbit hole.
What did you say? Did you say blackness helps you or something? That last sentence? What was the beginning point?
Greg.
Blackness helps you see something? The iris?
No.
Pupil.
Black is black because all the colors around it. You can change the way black is perceived by changing the colors that are around black.
Yeah, what was his last sentence about the pupil? What was his last sentence about the pupil or the iris or something?
I got distracted here in the kitchen. Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Well, do you know what you said, Ian?
Yep.
Don't repeat it, okay? Don't repeat it.
No problem. No problem. You won't catch us repeating gossip, Bob, so you better, by God, start listening the first time.
Hey,
I was asking for others who missed it.
Yeah.
Well, y'all listen. You're going to hear. Let him who have ears to hear, hear.
Ian, is the Tree of Life represented in the angel chart?
No, it is not. The aspect of the Tree of Life is what holds the boundaries of what you call the garden. The roots of the Tree of Life are the foundations of the garden. That's why when they ate Adam, we're talking about Adam and Steve. Oh, no, sorry, Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, okay, that's when they were banished from the garden. Well, where was the banishment inclusive of? As far as the roots of the Tree of Life reached. There wasn't a wall. But
how big were the, what was the area of the roots and the height of the tree?
Oh, it wasn't so huge. It just had a big trunk and a bunch of branches, but it was fast.
Okay, was it like 100 feet high?
No, wasn't that, no, wasn't that
20 long. Feet high?
More.
35, 33 feet high?
Can you name that tune for 58 feet?
58 beat?
Feet.
Yeah. And how stretched were the roots? How many yards?
Let's don't do yards. Let's say 2.5 miles square.
That seems to be quite far, Greg. What do you think? Is that normal?
Sorry.
Greg, get the fuck, stop mowing the lawn. Listen, it's your topic.
I was eating dinner.
Don't eat dinner, Greg. I ain't eating dinner. Nobody eats dinner. Okay, so the roots, Greg.
Especially when he's not eating, but he has been, so.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody eats dinner. I've had mine. Nobody eats anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Y'all miss the eating time.
Please repeat yourself.
So, Greg, is that quite long, 2 miles, whatever he said, square for the yard, for the tree of a 33-foot tree? Is that, doesn't that seem big for roots?
Who said 33 feet?
I said.
58.
Now, is that roots or branches? For the roots to sprout, 2 acres wouldn't be unreasonable for a big tree. No.
I think he said 2 square miles.
He said 2.5 miles square, which is like 1.5 miles by 1.5 miles.
That, right?
Yeah, that's quite a big area. That seems to be a lot bigger than a tree's roots would go, right, Greg?
I would never have thought a tree's roots went that big, no.
Right, so it's going big, and this is an extra funny tree. It's an anomaly, this tree.
58 feet tall, that's tall.
Okay, he didn't say it's 58. He was talking about some song by Elvis Presley, redone by Bobby Vinton, who screwed it up so Bobby V had to do it, and then Zappa cleaned it up with help from Iraq. That's what we're talking about.
With a coat that he borrowed from James Dean.
Who stole it from Captain Beefheart, who got it when he visited Aldous Huxley and talked about how his business was a growing concern. Captain Beefheart visited Huxley.
He ruined supper by making lumpy gravy.
So that's an album, guys, that came out at the same time as McLuhan's Meeting Mr. Message. What are we saying, Greg? How tall is the tree, Sheila? Go for it. Find out, please.
I thought you said it was 58 feet tall. That's what I heard, unless I'm mistaken.
I didn't know if it was was answering that question. I heard the 58 feet. Ian, are you saying that was the answer to the height?
We did already, yes.
There you go, Sheila. There it is, 58 feet.
Now, my thinking, just in my knowledge of, trees and stuff, is that if a tree is that huge, then the roots are the anchor. So it's got to hold itself down, and it's got to find water. So depending upon maybe the soil structure, or if it's in a windy area on the coast, that whole root system is its anchor. Of course, 1 mile of roots seems pretty abundant when you're thinking of anchoring something 50 feet tall, but maybe it's moisture.
Or get a very arid region and have a septic system,
arid,
and
yes.
roots will grow 2 miles to get to that sewage, you know?
Okay, so Greg, you're saying that considering the height of the tree, 2 square miles is not that much of, it's not too much of an anomaly.
You're missing the point. It's where the four rivers converge.
Well, that's where the tree is?
Yeah, certainly.
So wouldn't it be lots of water?
What Ian is pointing at is the roots were, let's say, a mile long to get to the water. They were heading toward where the rivers were all meeting.
Would you agree with that, Ian?
We did, yes.
Okay, so the tree is not right where they converge. It's a distance away.
Correct.
And its roots are going towards the convergence.
And isn't where rivers meet underground a power point of some kind because of the vortexes of water and all that kind of stuff, or is that just an urban myth?
Sounds like fun to us, y'all.
Thought they found that many of the churches in England were built upon underground rivers that converged. And that's what the dowsers were really good at, was finding the right place to where to put the church.
plain, but that was mostly because most churches had graveyards. And so the dowsing set it up to a place where that their graves wouldn't flood out.
That makes a ton of sense. Okay.
So, here's a question.
Because in those churches, in the basements, in the crypts, they'd take the bones if they didn't. Or they'd let you rot away and then stack your bones up.
Okay, Bart?
I was going to say that you're saying that also, Ian, that these products, well, two in particular, one that we're aware of and one that we've yet to be aware of, are coming from the Tree of Life.
They enhance your benefit that you're getting from Bread of Life and Living Water.
What enhances it? The Tree of Life?
All the completement formulas.
Okay.
They enhance. Well, what's that got to do with the Tree of Life?
Well, what did we say?
Well, what was your question, Bart?
I thought that Ion had said that one or more of these completements or products had come from the Tree of Life.
No, we said that they enhance your connection to the Tree of Life.
Okay.
It gets the eternal back into eternity.
Is the Tree of Life symbolic of what they call chi? Or in the zone?
The only way chi works is it's got to be falling.
Okay, so is the tree representative of the ascended state?
Yes, stable.
The tree of life, I mean, yeah.
Stable,
the what?
Stable balance.
Of the ascended state.
Yeah, if you'll get Brian back in here, we'll talk about the foundations.
Ian has always also used a tree, Bob, to... as, well, bad word, analogy for the human person themselves.
Do.
Where we lose our leaves and the bark grows and bigger and the branches go out.
Well, now, wait a second. That didn't really come from us. You have your trunk. You have your limbs. You have problems that have a root.
Yes.
You have bark.
And what are knots? And knots. What are knots?
And knots, yes, you have knots. That's exactly right. You get a knot in your muscles. That's right.
Bark that peels.
We're also
bark that bites.
And trees communicate with other trees. When one tree senses invasion of bugs, it sends a message to other trees, and they can produce a chemical that bugs don't like to taste or something like that. So trees communicate to other trees.
It makes a... It activates the pheromones in the bugs that make them not as tasty. But now here you go. Diseased or sickly trees, that's who the bugs go and eat. They won't attack
right.
A healthy grove. It's only the weak ones. So if you got a good stand of loblolly pines and you got pine beetles, they only attack if you've got some down they got to eat. Well, then they get in there and they get all comfortable. They can attack the breakdown, the resistance of the healthy trees.
That's right. And is it true that when you transplant a big tree, orientating it back to its north, south, east, west direction when it's transplanted, will encourage it to be a more healthy tree, or it'll
survive. Well, you know, but you certainly give it a much bigger chance because see, you talk about north, south, east, and west. That doesn't have anything to do with it. This world's been turning since you all created it. So the turning, okay, for example, if you stood on your head, the world is still turning, but your perspective of how you're turning on the earth is upside down. Same way you turn a tree that's been spinning, if you could put north, north, and line that up, then it's spinning as it was.
So there's something here about the spinning that's important.
Of course. Hey, Sheila, it's like paintings. If they're on the north, south wall of your house, you can set them and they'll be still. But you put paintings on the east, west walls, and you'll constantly be adjusting them. They'll get crooked by the simple rotation of the earth.
Never knew that. That's cool.
Yep. So if you're having a hanging issue, now a lot of people put a little bit of masking tape to hold hold them, just to hold them. But if it's a, if it's something very, very heavy and very, very big, get it on a north-south wall and it won't be an issue.
Huh.
Is there a reason why that is, Ian? That's noble.
Well, Bob, think about it. East-west walls are spinning. North-south walls are still. They're turning, but they're not being pitched on them on their heads.
Hey.
So what about how, what direction
we might be? Sheila, I just have to tell you that I made this huge gallery of pictures on Greg's living room wall,
uh-huh,
and on the east wall. And they go crooked all the time, and I'm constantly adjusting them. And I look, I sit here at the dining room table, and I'm like, that is so freaking irritated. That is so funny.
Okay, here's what you do to solve that. You get a roll of that double stick tape, like if you're going to hide speaker wires and that kind of stuff. It has a little bit of a foam to it. And
uh-huh,
get it about the size of your thumbnail, you know, and cut it off in a little square. And put it, get it right, now get it straight. And then put that at the bottom of the picture, and it'll stop that.
Oh, my gosh, that's so hilarious. I'm constantly, that is so funny. That's very cool. All right, thanks, Ion.
What was said there, Jenny? What was the point?
Ion gave us a big home decorating tip. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just that your pictures, when they go north-south, they stay straight, and when they go east-west, they go crooked. And when I redid Greg's house, I put this huge gallery of family pictures on the wall. There must be 20 or 30 pictures. It irritates me because they constantly shift. They constantly change.
Tilt.
Well, what get added to your answer that Sheila didn't evoke?
That you could fix them, and plus I was just talking to my girl, just saying, hey, you want to check this out? This is really cool. That's all.